Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Linda Campitelli. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Linda Marie Campitelli was born on October 14, 1989, in Miami, Florida. After high school, she attended the University of Miami, where she graduated with a bachelor's degree in health science in 2012. She then enrolled in an accelerated nursing program. Linda started working as a registered nurse in 2014. In 2015, she met a physician named John Campitelli, and they became romantically involved. The couple married in 2016. They had a daughter named Madison, and they purchased a 3,600-square-foot house on Bristol Ridge Court in West Palm Beach, Florida. There, they had another daughter named Olivia. Starting in 2022, when Linda was working as a nurse at the Wellington Regional Medical Center, she started having an affair with another nurse named Rene Perez. He was born on July 20, 1987, so he was about 2 years older than Linda. Just like Linda, Rene was also married to a physician. In 2023, Rene found a job at the Delray Medical Center, but the affair continued. In September 2024, Linda was accepted into an advanced practice registered nurse program at Nova Southeastern University. She was due to start classes in the winter of 2025. Linda was also getting ready to start a new job. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On October 28, 2024, Linda told her husband John that she was going out to have dinner with friends. She was wearing a red dress and black heels. At 7:23 p.m., she was captured on video surveillance leaving her development. A few hours later, at 10:18 p.m., multiple 911 calls were placed reporting that an unresponsive woman was bleeding profusely from the mouth. She was lying face down in the southbound lanes of Lyons Road, 7 miles south of Linda's house. When the police arrived, they found Linda's body. She had a skull fracture, brain contusions, cuts to her face, rib fractures, and contusions to her back. Linda was pronounced dead at 10:26 p.m. Her cause of death was blunt force trauma to her head and to her torso. Linda was wearing the same red dress and black heels that she had on when she left her residence about 3 hours earlier. Her body had been dragged post-mortem. Her dress contained black blemishes from the roadway, and the back portions of her heels were completely worn down and disfigured. Linda's Chevrolet Tahoe was parked 50 feet from where her body was found. The engine was still running, the doors were closed, and the front driver's side tire was flat. There was a screw protruding from this tire. The police believed the vehicle had been intentionally disabled. There was blood on the rear driver's side door handle and in several places on the interior of the vehicle, including on the rear speakers. In the center console, the police found Linda's Apple Watch with blood on it. A DNA analysis revealed that the blood belonged to her. Linda's cell phone was found about 25 feet from her body. The flashlight app was open and illuminated. Linda's friends reported to the police that she had been engaging in an extramarital affair for about 2 years with Rene Perez. The police discovered that Linda and Rene communicated via WhatsApp almost every day. They discussed work, family matters, their romance, making plans to meet, and having sex. Their messages contained expressions of affection and clothing-challenged images. Linda expressed frustration due to having to compromise and to share quality time with Rene's wife. On October 27, 2024, the day before Linda was murdered, the couple arranged to meet the next day, October 28, at 7:30 p.m. for a birthday celebration. In one message, Linda wrote, quote, "I love you. I feel kinda weird. I don't know what to expect tomorrow. You've never done anything like this for me before, and I feel a little nervous," unquote. Rene responded, quote, "LOL, it's no big deal. Just trying to show you that I can be romantic. It probably won't be as good as what you've done for me," unquote. Linda said, "So tomorrow at 7:30, and you're 100% sure this is okay?" Rene responded, "Yes, ma'am, you got it. I love you so much." Linda said, "Thank you. I love you so much, too. Good night." The police spoke to Rene. He admitted to having an affair with Linda and admitted they were scheduled to meet on the night she was murdered. He claimed he sent Linda a message to cancel the meeting because his son was sick, but the police did not find any message consistent with his claim. Investigators believed that after communicating with Rene that night, Linda drove her Chevrolet Tahoe to 1397 Medical Park Boulevard in Wellington. Renee left work at the Delray Medical Center in his Honda Accord at 6:30 p.m., which gave him plenty of time to meet Linda, as scheduled. At 8:12 p.m., Linda captured an image on her cell phone showing the back of her Chevrolet Tahoe. The rear seat was folded down flat to make the cargo area larger. A blanket or a table cover was attached to the ceiling of the vehicle. It contained a message that read, "Happy birthday. Hope your birthday is out of this world." The back seats and cargo area were covered with hospital bed sheets, specifically UltraSorb medical sheets. These sheets are the same kind used at Renee's employer, the Delray Medical Center. Presumably, Renee had prepared the space in the back of Linda's vehicle so they could have sex. The police believe that Renee attacked Linda while they were parked at this building on Medical Park Boulevard. There weren't too many visitors to that area at night, so it's unlikely anyone would have seen them. At 9:59 p.m., Linda's cell phone and a prepaid cell phone associated with Renee left Medical Park Boulevard together. As I mentioned, at 10:18 p.m., multiple 911 calls were placed reporting that Linda's body was on Lyons Road. This is 2.5 miles from Medical Park Boulevard. On March 10, 2026, Renee Perez was arrested and charged with first-degree murder with a deadly weapon and tampering with physical evidence. At the time I am making this video, he is working his way through the criminal justice system. Now moving to my analysis. Presumably, Renee Perez will maintain his innocence. He denied even seeing Linda on the night of the murder, so it stands to reason that he will deny killing her. The state, of course, disagrees. It took them quite a while to build a case, but they are confident the evidence indicates that Renee murdered Linda. This brings me to the question, is Renee guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence, both for and against the idea he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Renee and Linda were having an affair. They were both married and had a lot to lose if the infidelity was discovered. On the night of Linda's murder, she was scheduled to meet with Renee at 7:30 p.m. She left her neighborhood at 7:23 p.m. and drove to Medical Park Boulevard, an area that wasn't very busy at night. Renee told the police that he canceled the birthday celebration by sending Linda a message, but there was no message. He claimed that he did not leave his job at the Delray Medical Center until 11 p.m., but he was captured on video surveillance leaving at 6:30 p.m. At 8:12 p.m., Linda captured a photograph of the inside of her vehicle. It was decorated to celebrate her birthday and outfitted for sex. This is not something she would have done for herself. She must have been with Renee. He was the one who prepared that vehicle. Renee admitted that he had two phones. He would leave one of his phones at the hospital where he worked because the phone's location was shared with his wife. So he wanted to make sure that his wife would not discover the affair. He would take a second phone with him for his meetings with Linda. The police found out that there was a third phone, one Renee failed to mention. This phone is the one that left Medical Park Boulevard at 9:59 p.m. and traveled together with Linda's cell phone. About 20 minutes later, Linda was found beaten to death wearing the same clothing she had on when she left her neighborhood. It appears as though the scene had been staged to make Linda's death look like she had been struck by a motor vehicle while checking a flat tire on the side of the road. This explains why there was a screw in her tire, the flashlight app on her cell phone was open and illuminated, and her body had been dragged. If a stranger had killed her, why would they have gone through the trouble of staging the scene? The killer must have been someone who knew Linda. Renee knew Linda exceptionally well, and he was the last person to see her alive. Just before midnight, about an hour and a half after Linda was murdered, Renee was captured on video surveillance entering the Delray Medical Center. He was wearing a dark pair of shoes. When Renee left the building at 12:06 a.m., now on October 29, 2024, he was wearing a gray pair of shoes. He stopped by an outdoor trash can before driving to his residence. The dark shoes were never found. On November 13, 2024, about 2 weeks after the murder, Renee purchased a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus. He said that he lost his Samsung Galaxy S23. However, he was captured on video surveillance using an S23 right before buying his S24 Plus. Now moving to the exculpatory factors. There were no witnesses to the murder, no video. There is no report about Renee's DNA being found anywhere on Linda's body, in her vehicle, or on her phone. Linda was engaging in infidelity at the time of her death. It stands to reason that she had aggravated a number of people and supplied them with the motive to kill her, not just Renee. That's pretty much it for the exculpatory factors. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Renee is guilty? Yes, I believe he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Linda and Renee were both self-centered, treacherous, unsophisticated, manipulative, deceptive, and perfidious. Even though they were both married, they decided to have sex with each other. The affair went on for 2 years. This meant 2 years of deceiving their loved ones. The couple probably experienced a thrill by frequently lying and making plans to be together, like it requires some type of superior intelligence to sneak around and have sex in the back of an SUV. On her Facebook account, Linda portrayed a life of contentment, luxury, and happiness. She posted images of vacations, romantic dinners, trips to the beach, visits to expensive hotels, and other special events with her husband and her daughters. Many of the images were taken during the period when Linda was having the affair. She wanted people to believe that she had the perfect life, but her life was nothing but a lie. On the night of the murder, Linda wanted to celebrate her birthday with her lover. She was looking forward to an unforgettable romantic evening with a charming and enchanting atmosphere. That is, sex in the cargo area of her SUV on medical bed sheets taken from a hospital. The beauty of the moonlight shining through the sunroof was nothing short of spellbinding. Linda was living the dream. Now she had everything she could possibly imagine. At some point during this magical and transcendent night of passion, Renee became angry and beat Linda to death. He may have used a weapon. There was a reference to a weapon in the murder charge, but the police never said what weapon they thought he used. As far as a motive, maybe Linda once again expressed her frustration that she was sharing Renee with his wife and issued some sort of ultimatum. Perhaps the couple argued about something completely different. There's no way to know. I do not believe that Renee planned to kill Linda in advance. Rather, this occurred in the heat of the moment. After the murder, Renee realized he was in big trouble. Here he was with his dead lover in her vehicle. The only thing he had going for him, as far as escaping responsibility, was the fact that the meeting was a secret. Linda had worked to keep it a secret as well. She helped the man who murdered her to avoid responsibility. Renee came up with a two-part strategy to conceal his involvement. He would fabricate an alibi by claiming that he worked until 11 p.m. There's no way he could have committed the murder if that was true. He would try to make it seem like Linda's death was an accident. Maybe there was no murder at all. He put a screw in her tire, illuminated the flashlight app on her phone, and dragged her body to make it look like she had been struck by a vehicle while checking a flat tire on her way home. After staging the scene, Renee walked the 2.5 miles back to his Honda Accord on Medical Park Boulevard. This probably took him less than an hour. He then drove to his place of work and threw his shoes in the trash. The investigation into the murder took some time. However, the police eventually managed to secure key digital evidence, like the WhatsApp messages and the location data from Renee's third phone. This will almost certainly be enough to convict Renee. Now moving to my final thoughts. When a wife cheats on her husband, sometimes people may give her the benefit of the doubt as far as her motive. Like, she must have had a good reason. Maybe her marriage was terrible. Perhaps she wasn't getting anything she wanted out of life. The case of Linda Campitelli demonstrates how that is not always the case. Based on her social media activity, her life seemed idyllic. It appeared as though she had everything she could possibly dream of. She was living in a $900,000 house, frequently going on vacation, eating in fancy restaurants with her husband. What more could she want? I think what happened with Linda is that she was simply looking for sex with someone different. This was all about excitement seeking. This is a motive that many cheaters deny. They often act like there are complex reasons for the affair. Often the truth is quite simple. They are trying to satisfy a strong sex drive with some degree of novelty. I wonder if Linda ever considered the damage that she created in order to fulfill her selfish desires. She was willing to betray her husband for 2 years. Linda behaved foolishly, but the harshest judgment in this case should be reserved for Renee. He also cheated for 2 years, and on top of that, allegedly committed murder. This case is yet another example of why infidelity never works out the way people hope. Cheaters are often impulsive, reckless, and they operate in secret, which creates a condition that can facilitate violence. Those are my thoughts on the case of Linda Campitelli. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. Undoubtedly, some people will look at this case and think, okay, what happened to Linda was tragic, but she was playing a dangerous game. Here she was betraying her husband. She was also harming Renee's wife by cheating with him. So she was really just causing a lot of destruction. Sometimes when people do that, things don't work out too well for them. I think what's important to remember here is that Linda's side of the story has never been told because Renee allegedly murdered her. Even though she seemed to have this idyllic life, according to her Facebook account, there's no way to know if she was really happy. There's no way to know what other factors could have existed that drove her toward this affair. It doesn't mean that it wasn't her fault. It almost certainly was her fault. But there may have been mitigating factors. It's tough really judging someone when they don't have a chance to represent themselves. Renee will have an opportunity to defend himself against the murder charge. Linda will never have an opportunity to justify the affair. She will never get to explain what her reasons were. Another interesting element of this case is how it creates this awkward situation in terms of how is somebody supposed to mourn for Linda? So, like when a husband loses a wife and then he later finds out that she was cheating, is he sad that she's gone? Is he angry with her for cheating? I think what sometimes occurs is ambivalence. There are strong feelings in two directions. A person can be sad and mourn someone's loss, but also be angry with them at the same time. It's one of those complex reactions that people really can't work out too quickly. It's unfortunate because it makes an already terrible situation even more difficult to process.